We're starting WHM Season 7 early. This, indeed, is The Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning back into the program. Here we are, fresh from summer break, kind of still on vacation. I don't know, this is a weird gray area episode.
Yeah, and also, stay tuned for next week's episode where we pretend it's our first episode because we recorded that weeks ago.
Yes.
And it's going to be all like, welcome to the podcast after months of being off.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not fucking around with editing around that, okay? So just, you know, pretend like this one, well, it's just a little secret episode.
Here's the thing, guys. You can celebrate twice.
Yeah, exactly.
We're back again next week.
That's right.
And the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that.
We just keep coming.
So this is a Spider-Man movie. We've never done a Spider-Man movie.
We have not. This is The Amazing Spider-Man 2 from 2014, directed by Mark Webb. Man, oh man.
Oh, wait, is that on the IMDb Tribune?
Oh, it probably is.
Trivia right there.
There must have been some guy that was much better qualified to make this movie. Like, but his name's Mark Webb.
Do you think Stan Lee demanded it? Now,
executive producing this movie.
You know what? That means fucking nothing.
It means jack shit. It just means that Steve Ditko is fucking making a grilled cheese sandwich on a radiator somewhere. Saying, thanks a lot, Stan. Thanks again, Stan.
Now, for those of you who are unfamiliar, this is the second of the two movies in the failed Andrew Garfield reboot.
I love it, man. This is uncomfortable to watch, kind of, isn't it?
I mean, it was like, if you recall the tale, you know, it was kind of killed by the Sony hack. Really? Among other things.
It was just killed by failure, right? It didn't do terribly well.
It didn't do terribly well, but emails within the Sony hack out about, you know, issues with this, that, and the other thing. Andrew Garfield also, like, publicly talked shit about the production.
Yeah, it's always a problem.
He got fucking fired. Like, so they were just like, you know what? Shut it down. I mean, you watch it. This movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes of, you're not going to believe this. Here comes a fucking cinematic universe that never happens.
Let's just say at the top here, it is longer than Star Wars.
Oh my God. Big time longer than Star Wars.
Is it longer than Attack of the Clones? It might be.
I think it's tied, maybe.
It's either tied. It might be like 1 or 2 minutes shorter than Attack of the Clones.
Oh man.
I don't know. Or possibly 1 or 2 minutes longer. I don't know which way the wind's blowing on that.
That is disgusting. You should never make a movie this long about a fucking Spider-Man. You know what, man? Like, you want to make a movie about the Armenian genocide? That could be 2 hours and 41 minutes.
You know what? It's the least we could do.
It is. You want to make a fucking movie about a Queens kid that can climb up walls? That could be 90 minutes sharp.
God damn it. You are correct. I mean, it is outrageous. And let me start by saying, I watched 20 minutes of the wrong movie.
You idiot.
Dude, I'm watching this movie, man, and I'm like, why is Peter Parker acting like he doesn't know Gwen Stacy? That's bizarre. And then I'm like, the next scene happens, and I'm like, well, why is he getting beat up by this Flash fella? He should be able to, like, secretly use his spider. Oh, God, it's the first one.
Wait, the Flash is in the first
one? No, there's a dude named Flash. Does he not go on to be somebody, Steve?
Flash Thompson.
Wait.
He's the bully in the Spider-Man universe.
God, what? Flash Gordon?
No, Flash. That's his cousin.
Oh, okay.
Flash Thompson winds up being Venom, but that's a whole other thing. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, well, they certainly weren't working it into this fucking franchise.
But the thing is, it's the new thing because it's a reaction to like the Tim Burton late 90s Joel Schumacher thing where like, now we're anti-credits. We loved credits in the 90s. We're anti-opening credits in the beginning. And you don't know what you're watching until the movie ends and it's like title card. Like, no, I don't like that.
It was just a picture of a goddamn spider. That's all I had to work off.
Even a nice 2 would be something.
Just put a 2 in, man, for all us idiots that rented the wrong movie on Amazon.
But, I mean, it opens with basically we get two cold open adventures that both of them combined last for like 45 minutes or so.
It's crazy.
That's the other problem, though, is the first movie does the same thing, because in both of these movies, you got to see his goddamn Oscorp whistleblower parents. You're fucking fisting in Martin Sheen wherever he can fucking fit in this movie. So I had no, I was just like, oh man, they're starting with more flashbacks. Nope, first movie.
Well, in the second movie, they do start with more flashbacks, and it's Campbell Scott again and the Campbell Scott adventures. And like,
now, Steve, you are resident comic book expert, Steven Zadek.
Depends on who you ask, but yeah, sure.
Not that one guy, but most other people accept your comic book expertise. I certainly do. I default to you on these things. Was there ever a line in the Spider-Man universe where his parents were these Oscorp whistleblower fucking Jason Bourne super agents?
They were spies.
What?
Depending on who you ask, you know, depending on what...
Now, that's why they've been, like, that's why they're liquidated and he's being raised by his aunt or whatever.
Yeah,
who's
exactly.
Actually like probably a CIA cover agent.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Aunt May. Mm-hmm. M-A, it's an acronym at the end of the day. Yeah. But let me just go on the record that this is fucking stupid.
Well, also, you know what? Whatever your name is, Campbell Scott, Dad Parker, just do your job and shut up. You know what? Like you signed on for Evil Scientry. Yeah. Nobody told you not to do that.
You want to live and raise a kid. Don't make waves.
Exactly. When you wait till that kid's in college, then you can start blowing whistles.
And you know, not for nothing, but you take a look around this Oscorp office, man. There's some cool shit going on.
There's some cool stuff.
And I mean, it's a great organization to be a part of.
And what are they doing? Torturing spiders? Who gives a shit?
Like, what I mean? Like, who could care?
I've never seen the nefariousness of this plan. It's like, I don't know. Like, we're trying to heal diseases. You gotta fucking break a couple eggs. You wanna make an omelet out of spiders?
They're hurting spiders.
And it's like,
gotta upload this file from my laptop.
He's testifying.
My Sony laptop.
He's testifying on like a 90s webcam confessional that like Norman Osborn lied to some committee about whatever the else fuck. And it's like, dude, you are swimming in cool science technology, endless budget for, you know, endless research.
And you know what? That's the thing. If your conscience starts to itch you, you're in the evil science game. You go to your boss, you ask for a raise. That's the move.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you got
don't
goods.
Even tell him why.
Yeah, yeah. He knows why. And so basically, he's like, oh, bye, Peter. I have to leave forever. And they get into a plane. And then, like,
the mother is the woman from Schindler's List.
And Beth Davis.
Yes. Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
She goes to the bathroom on this private plane that they fucking. That they
charter. I mean, yeah. So yeah. First of all, that's how you got fucking caught. You took a company jet to escape.
Exactly. Fly commercially. It's much harder to take down an entire plane full of other people.
Yeah, when it's just the two of you and the assassin aboard.
I mean, it's like 2004, probably, right? Because like Peter's like supposed to be 18 in 2014. You know, take 10 years off of that.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like 2004. It was very difficult to get an assassin on a plane back then.
You're totally right.
So this guy. Here's my problem with this dude. He comes in. He's like, hey, Dr. Parker, how are you enjoying the flight? And he's washing his hands. They're full of blood. And, he's like, uh-oh, this is bad. And he starts uploading some file, and he knows what's going on. Apparently, this dude has already killed the pilot. The pilot is the last guy you kill every time.
Yeah, well, I feel like maybe it's on autopilot. This dude figures he has some time. Mm-hmm. He's just going to skydive out of there anyway.
Maybe he's got like one of those blow-up pilots from the movie Airplane.
Yeah, that balloon's going to take care of it.
Yes. And have some good comic moments.
So all of a sudden, I mean, Richard Parker just turns into Jason Bourne. Like, Campbell Scott is kicking this dude's ass. And you're like, what? The biggest, most important question I had in this moment was, excuse me, movie, where is Spider-Man in all of this?
Yeah, where is Spider-Man? Where is anybody I came to see?
Like, thought I bought a ticket to Spider-Man 2.
And this is going on for fucking ever.
And it actually doesn't really amount to much. Like, he upload. It's like, oh my god, is he going to upload the file to the thing? And like, of course he does. And
sure.
And also he dies, which we all know fucking Peter Parker's dad is dead.
And Beth Davids gets like shot in the face or something.
Yeah, well, she's locked in the bathroom for a bit, which is kind of fun. And
that's one of my greatest fears, is getting locked in an airplane bathroom, by the way. I'd lose it.
Oh, really? One of mine is getting shot in the face.
Oh, you'd lose it if you got shot in the face?
I would lose probably most of my skull.
So we just cut to Peter Parker, we really cut to Andrew Garfield in an ADR booth going, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, while the cartoon of Spider-Man does a bunch of flips.
Yeah, I will say this, and Steve, I think you and I maybe disagree on this. I think the Spider-Manning in this movie looks really good.
I'm okay with it. I'm not crazy about it. Eric, you got to break that tie?
No, I'm not. I don't. I kind of don't care. And
one of the most important parts of a Spider-Man movie is how he's Spider-Manning throughout the city.
Listen, man, I'm in spider exhaustion. I've seen so many goddamn Spider-Men. So many Spider-Men have come and go. How many Spider-Men am I going to have to bury?
That's a really good point. And that's the thing is, like, this new one's coming out next year. It's really hard for me to get up for it. You know what I mean?
Spider-Man Homecoming? Is it just him going to a dance after a football game?
Apparently Michael Keaton's going to give him some shit, right?
Well, he's playing Vulture, I think is the idea.
Nothing's been announced.
Is that the high school coach? Yeah. Vulture? Hey, Vulture!
Vulture's making me run laps.
None of the names have announced. Like, everyone thinks he's going to be the Vulture, obviously.
You know what? It's kind of shitty because he's an old man, and they're like making assumptions. And he played fucking Birdman, actually, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, he's a buzzard.
He is a Vulture off the
beat. You got Marissa Tomei as Aunt May. That's officially the greatest Aunt May of all time.
Well, in Captain America Civil War, I thought that Spider-Man was pretty good.
He was good.
I was like, oh, right. Spider-Man was supposed to be young.
He's supposed to be a kid. He's not supposed to be fucking 25-year-old Andrew Garfield.
He's 30 in this movie.
Least. You see the fucking bags under this guy's eyes? Lord.
And you know what? Here's the thing. They thought they could pull a fast one with us, you know? They're like, oh, he looks kind of young. He looks like, oh, Andrew Garfield looks kind of young. No, he doesn't. He's one of those creepy older guys with like a tight little child face, and it's disgusting.
Wow.
It's disgusting. That little tight little child face. Like, yeah.
You know what's amazing, dude?
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield is the same age as us.
Yeah. Make me Spider-Man.
Eric, remember when you graduated high school last year?
hey, don't make fun of it. I'm stupid enough. Could have done it.
But that's the funny thing. Yeah, I mean, like, actually, if you're going to go with this older Spider-Man or this actor, like, make him in his mid-20s. Like, oh, it's Spider-Man. Like, because we've already seen that by the way.
You know what? Yeah, give me college Spider.
Yeah, or that's like post-college. Because
that's the thing, man. Like,
first day on the job Spider.
But this is what you sort of figured out through this Sony hack with these fucking baboons that make these movies, is these fucking people have no idea what they're doing.
No.
And that's the thing. You want to hire Andrew Garfield? Fine. I think Andrew Garfield is a good actor.
I think he's a great actor, yeah.
Fucking make it college Spider-Man, because you know what? Who gives a shit?
Yep.
Fucking 48-year-old Tobey Maguire did it 3 times, and that looked fucking terrible. Like, why don't we just level shit out? No one is going to be like, oh, my God, he's not in high school. Definitely not buying a ticket now.
You've got the Spider-Man money already. Like, you know what I mean? It's house money.
Change it up.
Fucking change think up. About this shit.
The NFL is like, uh-oh, we're not going to have a Super Bowl this year because the Cowboys aren't in it. They don't give a fuck. They know you're showing up no matter what for the commercials.
Yeah, have you seen some of these Super Bowls we've had in the past few years? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you think they could rig it better.
Better than. Oh. So, like, he's woohooing. Apparently, it's the day of his high school graduation.
You'd think you'd take the day off from Spider-Maning.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, Gwen Stacy gives him shit. She's like, she calls him up. And she's like, hey, where are you? I'm about to give my commencement address, which is kind of a big deal if your girlfriend's giving her commencement address.
Of course.
You got to be there.
And you have no excuse because you can't, you know. Wait, does she know he's a Spider-Man?
She does know he's Spider-Man. Yeah.
So then she knows he's Spider-Man.
She didn't at the start of the first movie I was watching last night.
No. Right. That's when the cover story was he was just doing drugs.
I had to coke in the bathroom.
Sorry, I was getting super fucking high.
But like, yeah, I mean, like, he goes out looking for trouble and he runs afoul of Paul Giamatti.
Here you go, PG, playing Rhino.
Here it is. This is the big one, PG.
You're building the house off of this one, baby.
God. Here comes Paul Giamatti 2.0, action movie star.
Oh, God.
Oh, you did it again, Giamatti. You went into the wrong Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yes, this is not time.
Right? Oh, my God.
It is
he
so...
He blows it.
He's so... So terrible. And, like, you can see, like, he's purposely...
I can do what Clark Gregg does, God damn it.
sitting around in a fucking suit talking to Captain America? Why isn't that me?
Oh, I could talk to Captain America, baby. I could talk to Captain America big time.
You fucking idiot. You ruined it.
Oh, say, what's this? The script for Fantastic Four reboot?
Hey, is Tony Hopkins going to die soon or what? I could do Odin.
PG can play Odin real good.
I feel like
that would be terrifying.
He must have been really like courting Nolan hard for the Penguin. It was like between the Dark Knight and Batman Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Nobody knew it was going to happen. Like, hey, I don't know. The Penguin, it's got to, you know, it goes Joker. Then who comes up next? It's a Penguin.
And, you know, the thing
I'm fat. And, oh, man. Oh, it's a real shame what happened to Philip Seymour Hoffman. But, you know.
Oh, God.
PG don't care.
The thing about it is Paul Giamatti's a fucking class act. And he would play a fantabulous Oswald Cobblepot. We'll probably never see it. But you know what, Ben Affleck? I know you're listening. Maybe your second Batman movie?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe, you know what? Paul Giamatti is Bane? Let's just go for it.
Oh, I was born in it.
Or Paul Giamatti is a ventriloquist? That'd be creepy.
Oh, that would
Wait, well, there's a ventriloquist villain.
Yeah.
He's got like a little puppet?
He's got a puppet.
And the dummy's like kind of alive. The cartoon was very ambiguous about that.
Dude. We already have that cast, Jeff Dunham.
No, you know what? I would love it if they cast Paul Giamatti and then Jeff Dunham's like, well, obviously I was the one that should have, oh, suicide. Or seclusion, right. Or permanent seclusion.
That'd be a weird, weird scene in the movie. You just cut to Jeff Dunham's apartment.
Oh, dude, that guy hasn't had an apartment for years.
You're right.
That guy's got a complex somewhere.
You're right.
A complex built on racist puppet jokes.
So Paul Giamatti is a Russian gangster.
With a fucking barbed wire tattoo around his head. Holy shit.
Oh, and don't worry. When his pants drop, we get to see a hammer and sickle as well.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, boy. Yeah. Is that who? I don't know anything about Rhino. What is this dude in the comics?
He's just a bit. I mean, like, he's like kind of as strong as the Hulk or almost. He's like really, really muscular. He's in like a weird like rhino onesie kind of.
Wait, so is this like a what if tale if like the rhino as a child broke his back and was an invalid for a few years and then slowly gained his strength back and then waddled onto into a crime?
It's just apparently this is more realistic with air quotes, like who right. could care?
Because you put it in a stupid mech suit at the end of this movie.
Because he's not like a giant strong dude. Because yeah. I guess we see enough strong dudes, and I get that.
But. He's just a weenie.
He's a weenie. He's like, oh, Spider-Man. And he's doing the worst Russian accent.
And it's intentional. Like, he was hamming it up. Saying that he had a lot of fun with it. And that's great because this movie fucking sucks a dog's ass anyway, so who cares?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But the thing that doesn't make any sense is like he's supposed to be this like renowned Russian mobster. What renowned Russian mobster like works alone in this way? And by works alone, I mean walking down the street firing automatic rifles at people. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
He hijacks
about?
A truck full of plutonium and like Spider-Man's like, right. Oh.
There's a couple guys in the back.
Yeah, right? That's true, actually. Spider-Man does dispatch with those gentlemen.
But
you're
like,
right,
I mean, like,
you're right.
Also, he's like 40-something years old. He shouldn't be driving the truck. He should be planning the heist, and that's the end.
He sits at the hideout.
Yes, exactly.
Come on in, boys.
Oh, man, the truck driver called out. Of course he did.
I guess I'm getting behind the wheel.
I better put on this fake barbed wire tattoo so I look like a henchman.
God, it's so stupid.
Of course, PG, you have to be your own goddamn henchman.
He's definitely just wearing a jumpsuit that he wore to set because Paul Giamatti likes to be comfortable.
You think he's freeballing or what?
Well, in everything except for the scene where Spider-Man pulls his pants down. But anything before that, definite freeballing guaranteed.
So Spider-Man's like talking to Gwen Stacy and he's like, oh, Gwen, I'll be there as soon as I can. He gets a phone call and he has the old 1960s Spider-Man ringtone and nobody likes that.
I fucking hate it.
Who wrote that song? Did he write that song? Did he get a MIDI keyboard and make it himself?
It's also one of the worst moments on The Simpsons when Bart is whistling the themes. I hate when shows do that. It's like, can you imagine if Kramer just fucking flings open Jerry's door and goes, bow, ba-dum, bow, bow, hey, buddy, fucking, what is that? What is that?
Also, like, decide what movie you're making. Is it a dark, laden, heavy Spider-Man movie where Gwen Stacy's eventually going to die, spoiler alert, and Peter is an orphan and all this stuff? Or is it like fun cartoon horseshit Batman Forever?
Because you can only have one.
You can't do both at the same time.
And that last series was like the goofy shit,
yeah,
for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And this was supposed to be a little more on like the darker side of things.
Sure. And then, but then you have Paul Giamatti just eating scenery as the Rhino, and it's like, what movie am I watching?
And the thing is, like, you know, he gets caught by Spider-Man, and he's like gone for most of the movie. Comes back in,
he's gone for over 2 hours.
Yeah, like he comes back in the cinema's longest. You're not going to believe this moment.
If this is a play, he could go out, have dinner, and then come back. And yeah, then, like for his final curtain.
But I will say,
gotta like, step out for some Chinese food.
As hammy as he is. In this movie, I would take a whole movie with him
and
this performance over Jamie Foxx.
Oh, let's just talk about it. Let's talk about this character.
Because he's in this scene, actually. He's in this, like, Spider-Man, plutonium things are bouncing around, and he's like, and I think the Spider-Man action is fun. Like, the way they use inventive ways to, like, figure out how he's using his way.
It is fun.
His web.
It's just, it's sandwiched between so much crap, and it's so long, and my eyes are bleeding.
Well, it's like a really good newspaper article that's the newspaper has been underwater for 2 days. You can't read it. You know what I mean? Like, the content might be there, but it's sodden and heavy with fucking moisture.
It does look like an article.
But so he's doing cool like Spider-Man stuff, trying to get all these like plutonium things, and Jamie Foxx is on the street. He's talking to himself. He works for Oscorp because everybody works for Oscorp.
And this is
His blatant name is Max Dillon.
Max Dillon. Really?
I thought his name was John Hinckley.
It's one of these things where it's such an exaggerated character. Like, listen, I've seen a lot of crazy people walking down the street in this town.
Of course.
Never have I seen a man carrying 12 rolls of blueprints just out in the open like this. And that's like the whole thing. Because he gets pushed by somebody. He's like, oh, my blueprints.
What does he even have those for? I don't even understand this character. He's like a security guard, nothing at Oscorp, right?
He's supposed to be some sort of... No, yeah, he's supposed to be some sort of like electrical engineer.
Fooled me.
Because he's dressed like a janitor through this whole opening sequence.
And like he lives like shit. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, obviously. Like,
although it is humongous. It is unrealistic. They try to make it look like a flop house.
Where he lives, yeah. We'll see his house later.
But, like, it's got big rooms.
Yeah, if you just, like, cleaned it up a little bit, like, it would be a pretty sweet pad.
Mm-hmm.
Could use a woman's touch.
But he's...
the whole character is that he's a loser.
Right.
And
he should be living with his mother, by the way.
No, actually, that was cut.
No, no.
Yeah, that was cut.
Who was playing his mother?
I don't know who, but or maybe it was in one of the script drafts, because like 17 people wrote this movie.
How long was this original cut? Is this Von Stroheim's Greed?
Dude, I would love it if it's the reconstructed Amazing Spider-Man 2, and it just cuts to like set photographs and text explaining what was supposed to be happening because the footage isn't available.
That's the Mary Jane scenes, man, I guess.
Well, that's Mary Jane was in this movie, played by the Shailene Woodley. Yeah. I mean, she shot the scenes.
She was shot?
No, she filmed the scenes.
And now, who is this?
Shailene Woodley from those Divergent movies. She's also coming up in Oliver Stone's Snowden.
You know, it's actually funnier than your cinematic universe being canceled before you can make it. Is your cinematic universe moving to direct to DVD, which that last Divergent movie is definitely. No, it's actually going to be on TV.
It's like some TV thing. Yeah.
Isn't that embarrassing? Oh my God.
That sucks so hard.
Like, Shailene Woodley comes to a party, and then I was like, oh my God, did you hear about that Divergent movie?
Oh my God, her series tank.
That's so embarrassing, you guys. Oh, hi, you look so great.
But she was Mary Jane in this movie, wow. And they just excised the entire thing.
What else was missing? Was like the Hindenburg in this thing?
I think the Hindenburg did play a role in this. Some sort of time tunnel.
I think Craven ran for president. That was an exciting thing.
Ted Danson played Craven for a while.
Oh, man, Craven the Hunter. Yeah. I watched that so bad.
I just think, you know, that Morbius the Vampire showed up. That was exciting. And in one of the other drafts.
Isn't Morbius mentioned?
Yeah.
There's like some reference to him at some point.
Dude, they're referencing anything. Like, dude, come back for the next movie, bro. It's going to be great.
We'll be right here. Just come on back.
1 foot in front of the other, Spider-Man the movie. Let's make this movie. Let's make a 2-hour movie that's a movie.
Yeah.
And then we'll worry about the next one the next time. Well, you know, just finish your homework, and then we'll finish. We'll work on it tomorrow.
You get one hint. Yes. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's not throw the whole kitchen sink in here.
Because you know what? When you're winking this much, your fucking eyes are just constantly closed. Like, that's what's going on.
So he runs into Jamie Foxx. He saves Jamie Foxx's life. And, like, Jamie Foxx is like, you see me. Oh, my God. You see, because, like, you know, the idea of anonymous New York and blah, blah, blah. No one ever
sees. Speaking of fucking Hinkley.
And, yes, I mean, yes. he actually falls in love with Spider-Man in this part. Like,
or you know what, Eric? To be fair, this is grounded in New York. I'm sorry to interrupt, Steve.
Yeah.
Like a Mark David Chapman, if you will.
There you go, yeah.
Who's just denied a parole again, by the way, which is great because he should die in prison.
Yeah, you know.
No. What? Are you kidding me?
You kill one person. Come on. Just because it happens to be John Lennon. Heaven forbid. Heaven forbid you take a shot at the aristocracy.
Yeah. I'm starting to think like Steve here. And, it's been a while.
Yeah.
All right?
It's Lord.
Been a while.
Lord in heaven.
He's had a lot of time to think about what he's done.
Anybody see that chapter 27 with fat Jared Leto?
No, did you?
Oh, yeah.
I think Chris saw it too, right?
Oh, it fucking sucks. Oh, it's embarrassing.
Of course it is.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
So he saves his life and, like, he falls in love with him at this point. Like, he's like, oh my God, Spider-Man, you see me? And he's like, I need you, Max. You know, and, like, this Spider-Man's like a nice guy. He's like trying to be like, hey, man, just.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's like, I'm going to kill myself, Spider-Man. He's like, no, don't do that, man. Like,
he should have said,
Spider-Man, I'm going to kill myself. I'm so fucking sad, Spider-Man.
Is he Phil Seymour Hoffman in Happiness?
Such a fucking idiot, Spider-Man.
You fucking jerk him on the wall.
Oh my God, I'm making fucking cum so hard, Spider-Man.
I mean, that's what he's kind of doing.
He is. It's bizarre.
He's also... I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it was bizarre.
He's also doing Jim Carrey in the early scenes of Batman Forever. Like, yes. Hardcore.
His obsession with
Edward
Bruce Wayne.
Enigma.
And, you know, the thing is, Steve and I were kind of talking about this earlier today, and Steve brought up way more examples than I had thought. I thought of the Edward Enigma one when I was watching it. But this movie rips off so much Batman stuff, especially the Nolan.
Oh, no, it's trilogy. It's going crazy with the Nolan.
I mean, with the plane crash at the start, I was thinking Bane the entire time.
Yeah, oh, I didn't even think of that one. That's a good one.
But
that's
I don't know. Wait, one. Yeah, this came out after that, right?
Yeah, it came out after all these movies. And there's Harry Osborn comes back to Oscorp that is run by this corporation, very much like Rutger Hauer is running Wayne Enterprises.
Right,
trying to get forced out, like, didn't you get the memo? That's kind of going on.
Harry Osborn in this movie, played by Dane DeHaan, who I think is a good actor. He's wasted in this movie.
Is he good in that Metallica movie? I never watched it.
I think Chris Cavan saw that movie.
You know what you can say? I think Chris Cavan saw that movie about most movies.
That's true. No, I never saw Metallica : Some Kind of Monster.
Oh, you should check out my, come over to my house this weekend. Check out my vacation videos. They're great. Oh, I think Chris Cavan saw that. I think Chris Cavan saw your vacation.
Yeah, he gave it a 2-star review. Your vacation. Sucked.
Oh, you
your fucking contrite vacation.
Oh, you didn't read about your vacation on Rotten Tomatoes? Oh, it's embarrassing.
It sounded like you had a really cliched time.
I mean, it's polling at 20%.
You went to the beach.
Your vacation is certified rotten.
Man, that lighthouse looks shitty, dude. That lighthouse, the effects of that lighthouse do not hold up.
Oh, man.
Where were we? So, yeah, I mean, there's
Batman comparisons.
Yeah, so Dane DeHaan's character, you know, and basically later in the movie when he's about to drop Gwen Stacy off the Goblin glider or whatever, Spider-Man's like, don't drop, you know, let her go. And he's like, okay, and he drops her, which is very much like the Joker when Batman's like, let her go, or whatever he says. Like, really poor choice of words, and drops her out a window. It's the same fucking scene.
And also, like, you know, the other one that I noticed was the end of the movie, too. Jamie Foxx as Electro,
yeah,
just like Dark Knight Rises, he turns out to be like
the B villain, right, just like Bane is in favor of Talia, because like Dane
like switches at the
as,
last second
as Green, yeah, Goblin is like, you know, like pulling the strings. He's right, like a little bit pawn, he's Phantom, yeah, menacing,
you're right,
Electro a little bit there. Also, and like Electro just gets murdered and it's like totally unceremonious.
Exactly. But here's another big comparison.
Oh shit.
Okay, yeah.
Strap right in.
So Electro is just the fucking electric gremlin from Gremlins 2, the New Batch. Yeah, it's like true, word for word. He's traveling through the phone line / electrical.
Oh,
outlets.
You're right. How did we miss this?
I mean, Joe Dante should get a check for this.
He should get a check for most things.
I think, and then so, Zach Galligan calls somebody. And he's like, hey, can I get a check too? And they go, shut up, Zach Galligan, and hang up the phone.
I'm sure Zach Galligan showed up to somebody's house dressed as Spider-Man. Like James Cameron's house back in like the early 90s.
Oh, sure.
He's like, hey.
Didn't What's-Her-Face do that for Catwoman?
Yeah, Sean Young.
Yeah.
Ooh, she was a lunatic.
Fucking terrifying.
So he shows up to graduation late, and yes, he misses his girlfriend's commencement speech, and he sees the ghost of Dennis Leary.
Jesus Christ.
What the fuck? Okay, he was in the first movie, right?
Yes.
Because I was like, wait, what? I was like,
did you see the first one or no?
I did, but years ago. And then like when Dennis Leary just randomly shows up in the backgrounds in certain shots,
yeah, yeah,
I'm just like, turned to my wife, I'm like, did you see that? Is that just me? Am I just seeing Dennis Leary?
Honey, I think I'm seeing Dennis Leary in this movie.
Hello, Eric.
He's talking to me.
And, you know, it's annoying because I am a fan of Dennis Leary.
He's telling me to watch Rescue Me.
I liked most of Rescue Me. It's a show that ran way too fucking long.
Sure.
Had no business going there.
Are you
long.
Watch? Oh, dude, did you see that new show?
I have not seen Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
It looks terrible.
It does, which is why I've avoided it, because
oh,
I like Dennis
God,
Leary.
Oh, my God. It looks like glittered dog shit. It's, you, oh my God.
I haven't
disgusting.
Seen it. Like, he's wasted in that first movie, but at the end of that movie, he gets killed by the lizard. And, like, he finds out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Oh, that old gypsy goes up to him and goes, lizard.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
And he's, you know, he says to Peter Parker, he's like, look, like, if you're Spider-Man, people are going to be coming for you, which means they're going to be coming after my daughter. Like,
and I'm
dying
have
here.
That.
I'm getting crushed by this fucking whatever. Like, yes, promise me you'll break up with my daughter.
Yeah, break up with my daughter. I'm an asshole.
OEO, OEO, OEO.
So, Steve, comic books.
Yeah, and then, oh, sorry.
No, I need to know, ghosts,
uh-huh,
are they canon to Spider-Man?
I mean, sure. Again,
I mean, why are there
it
ghosts?
It just depends on who, it's stupid because it's a bad movie, Eric. And there's also, actually, if you pan out, it's in the longer
cut. How about
cut.
Ghost Man? He should become Ghost Man and help Spider-Man.
Ghost Man?
We got Electric Man?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. You might as well have Ghosto.
Ghosto.
Yeah, Ghosto. Why not? It flows.
Ghosto flows. If you, in the deleted scenes, the ghost of Dennis Leary was being haunted by the ghost of Bill Hicks, because he was like, hey, man, you stole my whole routine.
You know, I was Ghosto for 10 years before you showed up in the afterlife.
You know, I probably could have been I could have been Emma Stone's dad, brother. You know, I could have I was wearing that leather jacket before you, man.
Yeah, I could have been Captain Stacy. Yeah, whatever. I'd have been believable as a police officer.
Stole my whole shit, dude. So, but
it's this. It's the fact that Dennis Leary is put into these visions in this movie exemplifies the biggest problem with all of the Spider-Man movies, is that we cannot just let a movie in this franchise like live on its own. We've got to be referencing other shit, bringing back, wedging in every
fucking
person.
Just shove it in and break it off.
Just exactly. Make a Spider-Man adventure. That's all I want.
See, this is the problem with the state of superhero films in general.
Okay.
I feel like I'm about to give a speech.
Yeah. Well, you're standing on that box in the corner.
I am. And I brought it from home.
Brought my own soapbox.
Why is everything so like packed with every fucking thing? It's like, oh, and if you look back there, that lamp was relevant in issue 70. Fuck, what? Who gives a shit? Just give me a simple story that a child can follow, because these movies are for children,
yes,
right?
And that's the thing, is like, I feel like it's such a... It's like a naughty term. It's like a bad thing that I think Rogue One is going to break. But the idea of standalone,
that's
like, you hear standalone, yeah, and people are like, bang. What standalone means, it's not connected to everything else. Great. Cause you know what? I know that Uncle Ben fucking bit it, dude.
And also
I'm going to see your next movie. You know what I mean? Like, you've won. Capitalism has destroyed us all. Like, I am coming to all these fucking movies.
I fucking bought a ticket for goddamn Suicide Squad in 3D because the time worked out better.
Exactly. And I know it's shit and I'm going to see it anyway. So, like, it doesn't matter what... you don't have to buy my ticket for the next movie. I've got it already. So just tell me a story while I'm here, and then we'll tell. And then next time you'll be like, "Hey, remember those characters? This is what they're doing this time." I mean, that's all.
Like Batman versus Superman, prime example. Like, you should not have to go into the theater knowing parademons, and whatever else goes on in that gobbledygook.
No, and also though, you should be able to go into the theater understanding that Bruce Wayne's parents were murdered.
And knowing that Martin Sheen bit it in the last movie. And
exactly. Fun. Like, have some faith in these people that are definitely fans of the source material.
Also, you know what? Here's something. Going back to the actual movie for a minute. Peter Parker's a dick in this movie. Like, honestly,
he's a little too cool for school.
But you make a promise to somebody's fucking dad that died. Like, all right, whatever. That's done with. You know what I mean? Honestly, like, he's like, oh,
whatever contract you had, it died with him.
It did. And he's like, oh, I feel so bad. I'm dating this girl that I'm in love with that really loves me. But, like, I told her dad I wouldn't. And it's like, who could care? So she's like, hey, come to my family's. My family's taking me out. You know, my dad died last year. It's my high school graduation. I was a valedictorian. You're my boyfriend. I want you at this dim sum dinner. And he's like,
by the way, celebratory dim sum. Okay.
Sure.
Oh, she's a free spirit.
Yeah. She's a little artsy fartsy.
So it just can't be one of those cart dim sums because that food is always cold.
So she comes. All right.
It's like you're invited and then you're complaining at the table.
Yes.
Dude, let them enjoy it.
This is good. But
fine, you eat the fucking cold dumplings.
I will.
It's a huge social obligation. When you say you're going to go to this, it's a huge social, like,
big
this
time.
Is my graduation dinner. You're my boyfriend. This is a big deal. And he's like, I can't go inside because the ghost of your dad is there. And it's like, dude, are you fucking pulling this shit again?
I tried to fight Ghosto, but my arms went through him.
Like,
and then he made fun of my weird little man face.
and she's like, dude, are you pulling this horse shit again? And he's like, yes. And she's like, you know what? I break up with you, you fucking dickbag. I got to go back, talk to my mom and say, hey, by the way, this day is ruined because I broke up with my boyfriend.
It's
great.
It's great. Yeah. It's graduation. You're fucking graduating high school, man.
Yep.
Like, dude, let it go. She tries to. She tries to, but this jerk off can't let it be.
She's like in the middle of Chinatown. She's like, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go to fucking Flash's graduation party. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fucking fuck Flash.
Yeah,
how about that?
Why not?
Shit.
Because, like, also, Dennis
Leary. Probably would go premature, though.
Dennis Leary's
Flash.
Bravo. Dennis Leary's last words should be like, stay away from my daughter because you're Spider-Man. You're going to get her hurt. But if you do have to be with her, just don't jerk her around. Like, literally, just like either decide to do it or don't do it. Don't be like one of these flaky assholes that can't make a decision.
Listen, what is, in the grand scheme of things, Peter Parker, what's actually going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Nothing.
And also, apparently, wait, now, I did not see those.
Dennis Leary is not a poltergeist in this movie, if that's what you're asking.
No, I didn't see. That'd be great. Is that dim sum floating?
Your house is haunted by an edgy comedian from the 1990s, child. Oh, child, he just keeps smoking cigarettes. He loves smoking, child. Oh, no, I'm doing some automatic right now. I'm an asshole, Leo. I'm an asshole, Leo. Oh, he's talking about Suicide King, child. You better get out of this house. Ooh, shit, child, he's trying to sell me on a special edition DVD of The Ref.
What? I don't even know what I'm
seeing. Oh, child, I'm getting a vision. It's the $5 discount being at a Walmart, child. Ooh, it's got The Ref. Oh, it's a split disc, child. I'm seeing it now. It's The Ref on one side. And then when you flip it over, it's 2FBC.
God, whatever. What were you saying?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Sure.
Oh, my Lord. No. Shit, what was...
Mercy.
He's
dim
not...
sum.
All right, no.
Floating dumplings.
Fucking Flash Thompson.
I don't know.
But
man.
So she breaks up with him, and he starts to stalk her.
Oh, I'm this watching is where you.
Just let her go, dude. Yeah, just let
stop
her go.
Stop jerking her around.
What I was trying to mention was I didn't see the dioramas they propped up of Mary Jane's or whatever. I didn't see the Von Stroheim full cut of this movie. So how does that even come into play with this relationship? Shouldn't he already be like not being as into her maybe?
Or it's a thing where it's like they break up and maybe he then goes and meets Mary Jane.
And she's ready to go and he's
they meet at, wait, so they meet at her funeral or something?
Maybe it was at Flash's graduation party.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right.
Because Mary Jane in the story like also went to high school with him.
Yeah, they were
right?
All friends, yeah. Read Spider-Man Blue, by the way. That's a really good comic book.
Oh, what? Is it on DeviantArt?
No, it's about... the love triangle of Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy, and Mary Jane.
Oh.
It's a really good story.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he starts to stalk her, and I always get a little uncomfortable with superhero stalking.
Super stalks, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a little like...
It's like an ultra catfish.
Exactly. It's like,
you're cheating.
You have superpowers. You shouldn't be able to do this.
Right. We're doing it here like normal guys.
Yeah.
We can't compete. We can't do all that shit. Fucking look at them from the sky.
With great power, stop fucking following that chick around. How
I'll
about
tell
that?
You, though, the stalking montage is one of... It delivers one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like... He's looking at her from he's on a rooftop being Spider-Man and he's looking down at her like on the street and whatnot. And then he's like, oh, no, there's a building on fire or something. And he's like, OK. And he goes off to like
want to save those children or watch this girl's hair for a little longer.
Yeah. And so he like goes away. He web slings away to save the people. And she looks up like, is someone following me? And then what's amazing is she takes like. 3 steps, and then there's like an outside seating area of a restaurant, and she just immediately sits down. And I was like, "Does she know those people?"
Yeah,
she just sits down at this table.
Oh no, she just sits down. Like, please, just let me sit here. I'm being stalked by Spider-Man.
And
like,
oh my god, really?
Yeah, he's right there. Do you see him? Look up there. You see that little red speck?
He jumped into a fiery apartment building. I think you're safe.
Okay, now I'm gonna go. I'm gonna call cab.
That is terrifying. Because he'll probably kill you.
Absolutely, man. He's got those webs. He's got super strength. So, yeah. Dane DeHaan visits Chris Cooper.
And to be fair, drum up the first movie, there's no Osborning at all.
No, there's a little bit of Chris Cooper at the end of the first movie.
Is he in the end of the first one?
I think he's a stinger scene.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he's immediately
Lord.
On his deathbed.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight.
He's never the Green Goblin.
No.
Okay,
I mean, he's got Frankenstein disease in this movie.
Oh man, he's got hilarious creature from the Black Lagoon hands.
Yeah, he's turning into an actual Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Now was
Goblin vomit? Catch me bad with a goblin.
Welcome to Infowars.com. PrisonPlanet.tv.
Oh my god, is that a fucking thing on the internet?
I think that's one of his domain names, yeah.
Oh, mercy.
Anyway, so does Green Goblin in those comic books, does the Green Goblin turn into a goblin?
He does not turn
He never turns into a goblin in those books.
Isn't it just like a dipshit mask that he
has?
Yeah,
he wears like a rubber mask. Like he's like a fucking lunatic that puts on a Michael Myers
mask. Why is the global elite, the New World Order, now is the New World Order turning people into goblins?
Dude, I think actually you solved it right there. Norman Osborn's a reptilian.
Oh, no.
Reptilian. Look at the news footage. How his eye twinkles.
I mean, look at Hillary's hands opening that pickle can.
She's a goblin.
She's got the goblin disease.
Jimmy Kimmel goblin. Look, they're all goblins.
Look at this photo of Hillary Clinton's tongue. Now, you can see on her tongue there's a little mark. What else? A snake has that exact little venom spot on their tongue. She's a reptilian.
Catch him in bed with a goblin.
So,
goblin vomit.
He's got some goblin disease, and he's like, oh, by the way, Harry, Dane DeHaan, you also have this disease.
Yeah,
and
this goblinitis is fucking hereditary.
And he's like, oh, and I got it at just about your age. And I'm like, dude, you're like 60. So, like, how, and like, Harry, like,
was it like makeup?
Yeah, but it deteriorates so poorly for, like, by the end of the movie, like, before he actually turns into the Green Goblin, like, he's got rashes, he looks like shit.
But he's turning into a goblin. He's turning green with claws. He's turning into a goblin.
Yes.
Who then dresses up like a green goblin.
Yeah. He's a double goblin.
Prison planet.
So he's like, hey, man, you're gonna get this disease. Fuck you. Tough luck. You know, Chris Cooper continuing a streak of really shitty movie dads, you know, like really lighting that throat. That's his corner. He's got
it. Dude, I love if like Norman Osborn dies, right? And then they're like cleaning out all this shit and they're like, oh, what's in this hutch? And they open it up and it's a bunch of Nazi plates.
Yeah, exactly. He thinks Dane DeHaan sleeping with Kevin Spacey.
He used to hold these Nazi plates and cry.
Dane DeHaan's like, I sucked the best dick in four counties.
He goes, yeah. We all saw American Beauty. It's a funny movie. So he's like, oh, I have this terrible disease. Peter Parker shows up. He's like, hey, man, remember when we used to be best friends? I'm like, no, I don't, because that's not in that last movie at
all. There's definitely a line where Andrew Garfield's like, well, I got to help Harry. He's my best pal. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You haven't seen him in years. Fucking best pal.
They cut to Larry David. Best friend? Who told you we're best friends?
Now, how do they ever meet, like... Now, wouldn't he be going to, like, a good school? Like,
well,
a private
Harry was
school?
Was sent off to boarding school, but I guess before that he just went to the lame Queens public school.
And I think that the idea was, like, they were just friends because him, Pa Parker and Norman Osborn worked hand in hand.
Right.
Oh,
so
right,
they
kind of
knew each other.
I forgot.
They would go to, like, barbecues in Queens. And
super spy scientist agents, I forgot.
You know what? Another thing about the Parkers... Aunt May is crying poverty this whole fucking movie. She's going to nursing school or whatever else.
God, but, fucking Sally Field in this movie, by the way.
Cry
you
me
can
a river.
Keep it.
But she's, you're living in this, sell this enormous house.
Yep.
And then
yep.
you've got all your problems are solved. You clear $1.5 million and you're good.
Totally.
Yeah, you'll get, exactly. People not familiar with the city might not know, but it is insanely unaffordable to ever have anything in this city. So, yeah.
If you're lucky enough to have been gifted a house by Pa Parker, sell that shit. Flip
sell
that
shit. Move to the suburbs or somewhere. Live like a king and send your kid to a better public school.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you're telling me that, you know, Richard and whomever M. Beth David's name is in this movie, like, they weren't leaving some sick life insurance behind.
Seriously.
Like, they had their own house, like you see in the prologue.
Yeah,
you know that's another a full. Listen, folks who don't live in this town, a full fucking house in New York City is in goddamn possible.
Goblin
yeah. vomit. We're catch him in bed with a goblin. But like, yeah, sell the shit. Get you could sell it. Get a nice. Spacious too. Even listen, you want an office, a 3-bedroom apartment, just the two of you. Because reminder, by the way, flashback: Martin Sheen's dead. Uncle Ben fucking bit it. But like, it's just it's so insane. She's like, oh yeah, I'm taking night classes to be a nurse, and I'm also a waitress. Yeah, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you know how old you are?
Like, the thing is, like, nursing school's fucking expensive, yeah. too. If you want to make more money, take some shifts at Macy's. You know what I mean?
Also almost condescending where movies do this, when they're just like, man, I don't know, older mom. Now she's a nurse, because you can just flip that on.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just suddenly have that, because it means nothing to become a registered nurse.
No, absolutely not.
It's so insane. And you see, oh, man, is it worthless. You want to talk about cutting down this runtime. You see a scene, like, later in the movie when, like, Electro is wreaking havoc on the city. He cuts the power to the entire city.
Yeah.
And you see, like, fucking Sally Field in this emergency room, and this doctor's like, you know, get the paddles or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay, those are over there. They're on this shelf. And I'm like, you're also an incompetent nurse.
But also, like...
This is my first day.
why are we cutting to this? No, listen, here's the thing, and I'm sorry, Sally Field. I'm sorry, Rosemary Harris. Nobody gives a flying fuck about Aunt May. I am not buying a ticket to Aunt May the movie.
All you want is Aunt May to be like a little bit aloof and like, oh, have fun tonight at the party. And Peter's like, I'm going to be Spider-Man. That's all I need.
This movie, they're fighting about doing laundry. because he's trying to wash his Spider-Man
and
uniform.
And she's just walking into his room like, dude, you don't, if you're living with a 13 to 23-year-old man, you knock hard and then you let them open the door.
Because here's the great rule of thumb. Just always presume that whenever you can't physically see him, he is constantly playing with himself.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's the way you have to do it. Or there might, as he's older, there might be a girl or a guy in the bedroom. You don't know what's going on. Catch him in bed with a goblin. he's got goblin vomit all over the room he's trying to catch up with.
So Peter shows up to Dane DeHaan. He's like, oh, they're all pals. And he's like, hey, yeah. Then they like go out, hanging out, start skipping rocks. I've never skipped a rock with anybody.
Certainly not off the fucking shores in Brooklyn Heights. Gross.
I've skipped rocks in my day.
Oh, really?
So have I, but not, you know.
Not in the city. Ugh.
Not by the Brooklyn Heights carousel. Gross. East River. Ugh.
Yeah, what is that? Petrified turds you're skipping?
They're not even rocks. It's not skipping, it's rolling. It's rolling on the.
You want to roll
literally rolling on a river.
It's solid rock.
Rolling on a river.
So, whatever. Electro is getting shit by his boss, who's played by BJ Novak, one of the many throwaway characters for Friends to Elbow Themselves. He plays Alastair Smythe, who goes on to make Spider-Man, anti-Spider-Man robots called the Spider Slayers. Eric.
Wow, they were really setting this up.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, they were ready for it.
You know what? Nobody was clamoring for BJ Novak to return. Just like they weren't clamoring to buy his collection of fucking short stories either. You were par on The Office.
Well, that's more than most people can say, I guess.
That's true. Steve will have a collection of short stories out someday.
Oh, one day.
Guaranteed. All about alcoholism.
That's what it's called. You just picked the title. All about alcoholism.
Well, that's the hardest part. Now the rest writes itself. So
title first, work backwards.
So, he's like, all right, Enigma. I mean, Max Dillon, whatever your name is.
Max Dillon. He's like, Electro's name in the comics? Is he Max Dillon?
I think so. I couldn't give a shit about Electro.
Dillon went electric?
Oh, nice. Man, how long have you been waiting to toss that in the conversation?
No, I just thought of it.
All right, I believe you.
So it's Electro's birthday. It is.
There's a great moment where he meets Emma Stone on an elevator, and he's holding a birthday card. And he's just like, she's like, oh, is it your birthday? And he does this really sad, like, oh, yeah, having a big party downtown. Yeah, this is a hot club. A lot of celebrities going to be there. Yeah, I'd invite you, but the guest list is closed. And she's like,
you
dude who's dressed up to look like a fucking middle-aged Steve Urkel.
Yeah, he is Steve Urkel if he didn't make it. So, like,
Urkel made it? You're saying Steve Urkel made it.
I didn't watch a lot of Family Matters.
Steve Urkel.
Does he die in that thing? Or?
Urkel is presumed dead or feared dead in the series finale because he goes to space for some reason.
Sure.
But then he's proven to be alive.
Oh, thank God.
To sexually threaten Laura Winslow for another day.
So, Electro has created this like a new electronic grid. By the way, Oscorp is beating out Con Ed somehow.
Yeah, okay.
That's how you become a nefarious organization, by the way, because you've beaten the mafia. You know? Essentially.
I mean, seriously, you try to beat the fucking gas and electric in this city, I'll give you $1 million.
All right, so your guys' bill just went up.
It totally did.
I'm in Jersey, man. Con Ed got shit on me.
Oh, really? No Con Ed?
Oh, they don't come across the river that way.
Oh, shit. You're lucky as
fuck. No, it's even crookeder in Jersey.
PSENG, yeah. It goes right in Chris Christie's pocket.
Those big pockets.
So
all sorts of candy bars in there.
But they're like, hey, Electro, you have to watch. It's your birthday. We're all going out for drinks without you. And he's like, oh, man, that's so sad. They're like, yeah, but you have to work the electric grid by yourself tonight.
Well, there's some like repair that he has to make.
And there's electric eels involved. Basically, he tries to do it, and he falls in this tank with electric eels. Oops.
He turns into Electro.
Dude, these computer eels are just eating away
at
him.
They're so mean for no reason, right?
Dude, if you were an eel and you're let's say this, you're an electric eel and you're in this tank with a bunch of other electric
eels. I'm picturing it, all
right? And so you start getting it, right? You're like, oh shit, they just want me to like suck up my electricity. You'd be pretty pissed off at these human beings, right? So then, like, when a human being falls in, you're like, this is our captor, you know, and then you chomp down.
Yeah. They're going after his ball sack, too, right?
First things first, the ball sack goes. Yeah, ask any electric eel expert. Ask Jack Hanna about it.
You, as an electric eel, you get the balls immediately. Uh-huh. And then, if you got enough time, you flip back around and try to go up the ass. As you know, as much as possible.
That will turn you blue, actually, if that
turn
happens.
You real blue. Also, by the way they animate him, the way they animate Jamie Foxx and make his like skin kind of gross looking and whatnot. Yeah. I mean, they're making him look part eel.
Yeah,
it's disgusting. But he should not be half animal, man.
He's presumed dead at this point. They put him in a lab, and like Oscorp is evil. So like, oops, he comes back to life, and he's got electric powers. Great.
Was Oscorp like the source of all of these things?
No,
like,
of course not.
Right? Like, that's a stupid thing.
There was just random radioactivity just going around at Stan Lee's New York. You know what I mean? Like you smoke a J, uh-oh, look out. Here comes another radioactive truck. Now you're Daredevil. You smoke a J, uh-oh, here comes another radioactive truck. Now you're the Fantastic Four. Well,
so he's smoking a J on the street corner, right? Like you do. Just a regular New York kid.
Wait, shut up, Ditko. Listen to me. I'm going to steal this from you later.
Smoking a J with a spider. Uh-oh, now you're Spider-Man.
Now, me and this spider were smoking a J the other day, Ditko. Listen to this.
I was smoking a J with this guy. He got really angry. I was like, stop hulking out, man. I went, hey.
Cut to me making $1 billion.
Smoking a J with a fat guy. And I realized he didn't have anything special about him. So he's a kingpin.
I was smoking a J with Jack Kirby, and he paid for all of it, and I didn't let him. I never paid him back,
and Kirby didn't get a puff. I smoked the whole fucking thing.
Stole his stash.
Squeeze it to the dome, Kirby.
Oh, you know it is. You know it's sort of like the forever mystery to me is how he is successfully fucked all of these people.
He's in this movie too. He's at the graduation. The
as confused old man, aka himself.
Yeah, because he's like, isn't that Spider-Man? Hey, everybody, don't you also see Spider-Man?
I just never need to see Stan Lee ever again.
Like, who? Listen, if anyone out there were to watch a Marvel movie,
I think a couple people have and will.
But no, but if Stan Lee didn't show up, would anyone turn and say, where was Stan Lee's cameo,
no,
man?
No, nobody would.
You know, like, listen, here's the way you work in a cameo,
does
okay?
Does he even know what's going on
anymore?
No,
he's got no clue.
Is he just like, I guess I'm a security guard now. I'm going to do my best to be a security guard.
Well, that's
come this way, Stan, the cameo's over. But the Hulk was here. Didn't you see him? He was right over there.
We got to beef up security around here, Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno? Oh, that movie came out 6 years ago. The way you do a cameo is the way I noticed there's a great cameo. I just saw Snowden a couple days ago. There's a shot of like...
Oh, Stanley
saw,
in that, oh my God.
Too? Yeah, dude, Stanley, it's crazy.
So I'm smoking a J with Edward Snowden.
And I'm like, you know what? You should release all these documents.
A radioactive computer bites him. Becomes a special agent.
Cut to us smoking a J in a Hong Kong hotel room. We're talking a documentarian, Laura Poitras.
And I look out the window and I say, geez, they're coming for you. Get to Russia.
No, Oliver Stone has a cameo in Snowden, and it's just him literally sitting in an auditorium clapping during a presentation. And that's like, that's how you do it. You're not fucking getting Reed Richards the goddamn mail. You're not watering the lawn with your boner hose. You're not doing any of that.
Just stay out of it, Stan. You know what? Just ever you got enough money. So, the Electro assholes his way to Times Square. And Spider-Man fights him.
Times Square is in this movie way too much than I need Times Square to be in a movie.
God, I hate Times Square. It should never be featured in a movie this much.
And it's actual Times Square, which is annoying. That's what I applauded the new Ghostbusters movie because I was like, at least Paul Feig had the common decency to just make a fucking fake green screen Times Square. But they're actually there. They're shooting. Times Square is the worst.
If you see, has a prominent display.
This. TKTS is right there.
If you see Spider-Man in Times Square, if you come to New York, run the other way. Because that's a one-way ticket to TB.
TB?
Tuberculosis.
It's so obnoxious, though, because like it's the first of two times in this movie. There's basically like a police-sanctioned fight between Spider-Man and a villain. Because like
this happens a few times in this movie.
Because like the police department is trying to handle Electro. It's not working out. Spider-Man comes
in. They see Electro. They go, we got a 1085, which is, I guess, a blue electric man.
No, that's, so I'm smoking a joint with an electric outlet. I say, Electro, this is good stuff.
Cut to me making another 1,000,005.
Ooh, it's pretty cool.
But like, so Spider-Man shows up and the police department is just like, okay, everybody, Spider-Man's here. Back up. These two are going to rumble now. And the same thing happens at the end when Paul Giamatti like comes out in the dipshit rhino mech suit thing. Yeah. The police department again is like, oh, thank God Spider-Man's here. All right, everybody, back up. And like the crowd is cheering like fucking the Hulkster just came down.
They're booing Electro in this scene, and that really bothers me.
There are outright jeers.
If I see a blue guy shoot electricity out of his hands and destroy Times Square, yeah. I'm running.
Yep.
I would be sending Dr. Manhattan a thank you letter.
Dude, yeah, he is very Dr. Manhattan in this movie, isn't he?
Yeah, just missing the blue dong.
Yeah, he's a more modest Dr. Manhattan.
Well, that's the funny thing is like right when Electro is created,
yeah.
And he's like naked in this tank. Electro has got little shorts on.
Yeah, what are these shorts that he's wearing?
How are these happening? Is that the eel skin or something?
Give me that fucking ding dong, dude.
Dude, just fucking flap it out there, dude.
Billy crud up the shit out of it, dude.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You think that was an accurate size for crud up or what?
I don't know, man.
We'll find out.
If so, that's pretty cool.
I was smoking a joint with Billy Crudup. He pulls out his dick, right? And I'm like, Dr. Manhattan? That's right, Alan Moore. I actually wrote Watchmen before you. Another 1,000,005. I get all the comic books.
There is a great line when he's like, when Electro is ready to...
I was smoking a joint with a cat. And there's Fritz the cat. Sorry. I invented that too.
I was smoking a joint with two stone tablets. And I was like, boom, there's the Ten Commandments.
There's a line that Jamie Foxx has at this part, which is particularly terrible when he goes, it's my birthday. Now it's time for me to light my candles. And he starts, like, killing people.
Now is a good time to talk about the score in this scene. Because it's all, like, regular.
How much are they trying to get? 1,000,005? Oh, you're talking about the music.
Yeah, no,
music.
Not a take.
Oh, excuse
music.
Me.
And now all of a sudden, and it only happens like once in the movie, there's like lyrics to the score where it's like,
Spider-Man, you lied to me.
It's so, but it's weird because I'm like, are these voices in his head?
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man, you made me this way.
And
you
know,
Spider-Man, Jodie Foster would respect me if I kill you. I don't get why he cares about Spider-Man.
I don't get it either.
I don't at all. He saved his life once, and then he didn't hang out every day.
Yeah.
It's psychotic.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's a supervillain.
I guess
they're
so.
Usually crazy.
I know, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's that stupid like thing of like any, you know, quote, loser or like unpopular social misfit could just as easily be turned into a supervillain.
Sure.
Like, not all unpopular people are psychopaths. Not all introverts are psychopaths. And this movie doesn't justify it at all. It's like, oh, Spider-Man missed my birthday. I fucking hate that Spider-Man now. You're like, what? Your birthday? You're fucking 45 years old.
Why isn't he like, oh, man. Cool, electric powers, awesome. I'll see you later. I'm gonna go make some movies, man.
I'm gonna light Stan Lee's J with my electric fingers.
Oh, thanks, Electro.
You want a little of this? Just kidding. It's all for Stan.
Got any comic book ideas I can take?
Don't worry, I'm just going to Jack Kirby's gravestone. I gotta take a piss.
No. So like Gwen Stacy like finds out that Oscorp's covering up Jamie Foxx's accident.
Yeah, and whatever. And
she's really gonna ruin that internship she has, or however she's working for Oscorp.
At this point, Dane DeHaan goes up to Peter, and this is my favorite stupid thing that all these movies do. It's like people go up to Peter Parker and they're like, hey, man, you're totally not Spider-Man, but you know him, right? Like, I know that you...
You know how you look exactly like Spider-Man?
But you know him.
Sound just like Spider-Man?
Uh-huh. Same build, same height, but you're not him, but you know him. So yeah. Could you pass this message on? Like, he needs Spider-Man's blood because he thinks it's going to...
You know what? Just start saying, no, I don't know Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
I got lucky with a couple of photos. I must live near the Spider-Man.
That reminds me of a horseshit thing in this movie, is because they couldn't find anyone to be better than J.K. Simmons at being J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, yeah.
They have J. Jonah Jameson send an email in this movie, yeah. And that's it. And he's not in the last one either. Like, no. Fuck that.
He skipped his whole cinematic universe.
It's so, so, so stupid.
And it's one of the better characters.
Yeah.
It's a fun best character. It's something to flesh everything else out. I mean,
it's a world that you can have. And it's just not here. It's just not at all here because they just couldn't, I don't know, get anybody. I mean, like, J.K. Simmons is great. Either A, get him back and who cares.
Right, no one gives a shit.
Or just get anybody else and it'd be fun. Get John Gooden, get a fat J.K. Jonah Jameson. Get Danny Glover. That'd be great.
Oh, that would be cool.
I mean, the internet would go on fucking fire, but that'd be great.
You could give Crispin Glover.
You could give Danny Glover an awesome, like, salt and pepper high top fade.
Absolutely.
Fuck yes, Danny Glover as goddamn J. Jonah Jameson. It would be awesome.
He's slamming a desk good. Yelling about Spider-Man. I'd be fucking freaked out. I'd be like, oh shit, man.
Totally.
I just made Danny Glover upset.
Did the internet shit its pants when Larry Fishburne played Perry White?
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
Yeah,
did they
heaven
really?
Forbid.
God, the internet. Man. A bunch of fucking terrible people on the internet.
Oh,
huh?
But thank you for downloading this podcast from the internet.
Well, the people who listen aren't terrible.
I know. I'm
the
just
people
saying,
who don't listen, they're terrible.
You take the good, you take the bad.
So I was smoking a joint with a racist the other day, and I was like, hey, the internet. That's right. I invented the internet, gang.
Fuck you, Al Gore.
So
I was smoking a joint with Al Gore, and I got arrested by the Secret Service.
And then I was smoking a joint with global warming. And I said, this is a slideshow. This is not a comic. This is a slideshow.
I took a really long fucking hit of this J, right? And I look around and I said, well, Jesus, the Earth's heating up at a really rapid rate. Well, this is certainly an inconvenient truth. Then I went home and he stole the idea from me. Fucking Al Gore ripped me off.
So
she's the only one that ever got away with it. Everyone else is in the ground.
The ground.
So Dane DeHaan's like, I need Spider-Man's blood. You have to talk to Spider-Man, get his blood. And like Spider-Man, you know, Peter Parker feels bad. He talks to Mary Jane about it. He goes, it's like
talks to Gwen Stacy about it. Mary Jane ain't in this fucking movie.
I'm smoking Mary Jane. I said, Mary Jane? No, like, I invented a girl. Let me get a bag of Gwen Stacy, and you got a couple of edibles in there? No. So he's like,
you got some Kurt Connor Kush in there, or what?
So
yeah, give me that Flash Thompson. I want to go to the moon tonight.
Oh, shit, it's laced with PCP.
You guys ever do this? Yeah, it's called mixed greens, all right? Now, you grind them all up together.
No, but it's like him going to a little kid's birthday party because he dresses up like Spider-Man and goes talks to Harry Osborn. He's like, well, I heard you were looking for Spider-Man, little boy.
It's so stupid. It is a mall Santa situation.
And he's just like, oh, I'm not going to give you my blood because this, that, and the other thing. And like he starts freaking out. And like he starts flipping things over. And he's like, you're a fraud, Spider-Man. You're a fraud. And Spider-Man's like, you know what, man? No.
He hucks a tumbler of perfectly good scotch at him.
Yeah, whatever.
You're not going to hit Spider-Man with a tumbler, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like the rhino can't hit this dude, man. And the rhino's the best.
There's a terrible shot of like Harry Osborn like being angry and like yelling in his apartment, and Spider-Man's like hanging out like on the wall like listening, and it's like Andrew Garfield does this like head down like, oh, my best pal. You know,
for 20 minutes
it's
in this
so
movie.
Stupid.
Oh, by the way, joining the cast of the, speaking of Kirk Connors, the Dylan Baker All-Stars of characters that will never be Spider-Man villains is BJ Novak's there. You've got now in this movie, Felicity Jones.
Oh, right, as the assistant Felicia.
Felicia,
wait, that's a villain, too?
Yeah, she'd be the Black Cat eventually, if this universe really...
If all goes well.
Yeah. Okay. That was some slideshow at the fucking Sony Christmas party circa 2013.
An inconvenient franchise.
And that that angry intern who actually facilitated that hack, and it was not North Korea by any stretch of the imagination, was like, you'll never see any of this. You'll never see any of it at all. Oh, here's your secret Santa, Janice.
So, but she's like working with him, whatever, doesn't matter. Electro, you don't know what happens to him after at least I didn't. Like, he just kind of goes away, and like Spider-Man's working on different web shooters for a long time. I'm like,
well, he's kidnapped and put in like a fake Arkham Asylum for Spider-Man villains.
I'm already asleep.
Where Morrissey is playing some German scientist.
Dude, what is this guy? He's like, oh, hello, Electro. Oh, I'm here to do experiments on you.
His name is Dr. Kafka, and I threw the fuck up.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that.
Is he in the comics too? Does he become like a cockroach villain?
I read that he's
Dr.
actually
cockroach.
Kafka is an alias of the chameleon, actually.
Oh boy, wow. Why don't we just all fucking show up?
He's not, again, it's the Dylan Baker basketball team that everyone who ever is not a Spider-Man villain but almost is.
Yeah.
Oh my God in heaven.
Lord.
Jesus Christ, he's
torturing
cross.
This guy, and this is where you get the trailer line, which I think is a pretty good Jamie. And I do think Jamie Foxx is okay, but not great in this movie because
he's
script
fine,
is
but he's giving garbage lines
I
to deliver.
I want a world without mercy, a world without power, a world without Spider-Man.
Now, maybe you put Spider-Man
I want a world without
first.
This movie.
Spider-Man
I want
is
a world without this franchise.
The least significant of those other things. Like, mercy, that's pretty big. What was the other one?
Power.
Yeah, power's pretty big, too, right? Well, Spider-Man, he's just protecting one city.
Yeah.
Mercy and power, that's worldwide.
You should get, like, all the super friends.
Yeah, get them all together. Rope them all together. So while this is all happening, Peter Parker discovers that his dad actually has a secret lab in an abandoned subway station fit for the Ninja Turtles themselves.
Oh, man, forget it.
This is based... Yeah. It's based on an actual subway station.
That Splinter lives in.
You can see it.
I was smoking a joint with this rat, right? He was talking to me. No, the famous Track 61 under the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real thing.
So that's where apparently Norman Osborn was conducting these experiments, even though he had a whole fucking building to do them in.
Which, how does it get set up? I don't know. Hey, have you ever been 19 and tried to urinate drunk in a subway station and were instantly caught by the MTA police?
Yep.
Fucking figure out a way to build a goddamn secret laboratory in our subway system. Okay, movie.
And he gets to play the video and he realizes his dad loved him the whole time. And that's
sweet.
That's great.
Yep, big time.
He also...
it amounts to nothing.
No, it doesn't. I mean, maybe in the next three movies something big is going to come out
of it. The only detail that you get is that Norman or Mr. Parker, Richard Parker, put his blood into the spider. So only... his bloodline will have the effect that's intended, which is why it works okay on Peter and turns Dane DeHaan into the goddamn Green Goblin.
That's a bad problem. Also, at this point, Emma Stone is getting like catfished by this lady pretending to be that she's from Oxford. I mean, she gets this call from this woman who's like, hello, I'm from Oxford University, I am.
And it's have a study abroad program you might want to participate in.
All I need is your credit card number. And
social security number.
Why don't you come in my big fancy office, which is on a 10th Avenue and 49th Street, floor 59, Suite C. It looks like a janitor's closet, but it's totally Oxford.
Oh, that's right. Yes, the good coats are in the back. Just keep going. Our office is in the back with the good coats.
It's ridiculous.
So she's like, she's applying for some study abroad grant. Who could care?
And she's like, you know what? Maybe if I go, if I cross the Atlantic, this fucking superhero will leave me alone.
This total weirdo.
And so that's kind of all coming to a head. The Green Goblin, he decides, he's like, okay, Spider-Man fucked me over. I'm going to go bust Electro out of prison.
Correct.
And he goes up to Ravencroft, which is where it is, and he like does some sick moves.
Ravencroft is like the knockoff Arkham.
Yes, yeah. Which is it's a real thing with the Spider-Man comics. So he goes there and like he gets a moment alone with Electro, and he's like, "Hey man, why don't we be in this movie together?" And he's like, "I don't know, man. I thought I was the villain of this movie. No, actually I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to be number 1, you're going to be number 2." And he's like, "Ah, this doesn't make any sense." But like because Electro in this movie at least likes skinny white guys. He does well because it's this weird scene where he's like, "I need you," and like that gets him kind of hard in a weird.
You need me.
It's a weird scene, man.
Oh, I need me to be needed by you.
And like he's being pulled away by security. He's like, "I need you, Max. I need you." And he's like, "Oh man, I'm almost there.
Boner broke me out of this Electro prison."
And at least, you know, make Electro gay. If you're going to play with it, like, just do it. It's been 20 years since the not gay Riddler. He might as well be the gay Electro. That'd be really something.
Yeah, why not?
Because he's in love with Spider-Man. Like, that's very clear. He's like, "Oh, Spider-Man, you're going to come to my birthday party? I'm going to kiss you. We're going to hang out."
My birthday party.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, let him want to kiss Spider-Man. That'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
I'll watch that movie.
Oh, I'd watch the shit out of that movie. Then I'd turn to DeviantArt to see what else is up.
So I'm smoking a joint with the creepiest guy in the world. And then DeviantArt. There it is.
So whatever, man. Cut to the third act of this movie. Electro cuts the power to the city.
They team up. Electro cuts the power to the city. He gets this cool Electro outfit out of nowhere. It's like this, like...
It looks like a Fantastic Four jumpsuit.
It looks like he fucking stole it off the Event Horizon. I don't know where he got this thing.
Hey, better movie.
Oh, big time. Oh, yeah, dude. I just rewatched it recently, just holding eyeballs in your hands.
That's great.
It's great.
Jason Isaacs never went where I wanted him to go.
No, and that's a disappointment.
It is. I think he's great.
Let's finish this movie. No.
So Electro cuts down the power to the city. Their deal is Electro and the Green Goblin, like, "Hey, you get me back into Oscorp, and then I'll let you out." And Dr. Kafka doesn't get fucking turned into a crispy skeleton, which is a bullshit ending.
Yeah, he's got to be a crispy critter, like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. He gets like sort of electrocuted, and you see like. The device, he's like stuck to a thing, and it's kind of putting him into a pool of water.
No, I need to see it really
you don't
happen.
See it. I need that dude choking like Kurt Russell and Poseidon.
Yeah.
So when he takes over Oscorp,
yeah,
he gets into the grid and the power of the whole city goes out, and it's like, great, whoop-dee.
Yeah, and...
what a threat.
Weirdly enough, I never understand, it's in the first Spider-Man trilogy as well, it's like, the Green Goblin outfit was created for military use. Like, what is the benefit to having a dude on a hovercraft that with his whole body exposed?
I'll tell you what. It's part of my screenplay, Surf Soldiers.
I'll tell you what that is for. That is the type of shit that the U.S. government sells to the enemy.
Yeah.
They outfit their guys with it, make a profit, and then they go to war with those guys.
And we pick them off one by one.
Yeah, like, exactly. Come on, dude.
Yeah.
Surf Soldiers is right. I mean, it's so silly. Like, there's no military application to it.
There's part of it
that does... It's like a mech suit on a stupid thing.
The fucking glider aside, the part that does make sense is that suit, we're told, in the throwawayest of throwaway lines, that it's like a healing suit.
Sure.
So, like, it has, like, medical capabilities, which is why Dane DeHaan doesn't die after injecting himself with the spider venom.
He puts
the suit on.
The problem is Dane DeHaan, like, he injects himself, and he, like, goes in the floor, and he kind of does a little American Werewolf in London, like, and there's one scene where he looks really cool because he's got this swoop haircut,
yeah,
and his hair is like in a point down over his face,
right?
And he's got these teeth and he's got that weird angular face. Anyway, that's cool. But then out of nowhere, he gets the haircut from Joy from Inside Out.
Oh my god! And he's
like, this like sprite hair. It looks so shitty.
It's like, I'm a goblin now.
It would be awesome if Dane DeHaan just started getting dubbed by Amy Poehler for the rest of the movie.
But I mean, like, it's a bad haircut. It's a bad look.
Yeah,
like,
it just looks terrible.
They tinge his skin a little yellowish green, and then he kind of like goes away for 40 minutes. And then,
we have this Electro fight on Roosevelt Island, one of the scuzziest places in New York City.
And there's more spider, like Itsy Bitsy Spider plays. There's a lot of musical cues in this scene.
I hate it. It's so stupid. It's the most obvious crap music. I mean, it's up there with Suicide Squad.
It's so terrible. And, you know, they have a big fight. Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker together figure out, like, how to defeat him.
Well, they're like making up. Like basically, he follows her. She's like, "I'm going to England." He's like, "No, you're not." He's like, "Well, I'll follow you to England." She's like, "Oh fuck, oh my god, this guy's gonna follow me to England." And like, poor Aunt May's like, "Hey man, I thought I was paying for your education.
You know what?
I'm working fucking four shifts."
Well, she's dealing with a code black in the hospital right
well,
now.
How about this? The next Spider-Man movie, we open on dreary old London. And there's a killer afoot. There's a super stalker.
Oh, like
and
yeah.
It's Spider-Man killing girls.
I'd be down with it.
Right? Yeah.
I'd be down with it.
That's Stacy's first.
That's it.
And then he gets the taste.
So we have this big fight. Electro is killed unceremoniously.
But he sprays her hand with his super strong webbing that can throw cars, and she uses a little penknife to cut it out. I'm like, yeah, come on.
Yeah, that's pretty.
So she shows up, and like basically the whole thing is like, you know, this whole movie, you know, from the last movie, Gwen Stacy's going to die. Like, right. It's anyone who knows anything about comic books.
She should have died in the first movie.
She should have died in the first movie because everyone saw it coming. And in this movie, like, it's kind of hilarious. Like, every time she's like, "Oh, my thumb hurts." I'm like, "Oh my God, she's going to die." Like, and like in this scene with the Electro thing, like, she almost keeps dying over and over again.
It's like in Hot Shots with Dead Meat. You know,
yes.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
The goose spoof.
Well, yeah. They leave it to be, I guess, like comic accurate, because doesn't Green Goblin kill her in the comic?
Because, like, yeah, he destroys Electro, comes to nothing, and, like, you're like, "Oh, I thought this is an Electro movie, I guess not." And then you hear the cackle of the Green Goblin, and you're like, "Oh, fuck, this movie's not over with yet."
It's
like,
unbelievable.
It's like 4:55 on a Friday, and you're just closing your computer down. Yeah. Your boss calls you in for a meeting, and you're like, "Oh, shit."
Right before this scene, Frodo tossed the fucking ring into the mountain.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And you got to go to the bathroom, and you're like, "Oh, my God, why are we at Sam's fucking wedding now?" Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's another useless fucking fight scene.
Aragorn at the grocery store?
Samwise reading TV Guide. So they just like kind of fight for a little bit, you know, they rip off the Joker, he throws her down a fucking clock shaft.
They're in a clock fight, I guess.
It's a big clock tower.
You know what? I don't have time for that.
I do not.
And it's a horseshit thing where like he gets the web on her and pulls it, but it's like just too late, and she like breaks her neck or her back against the
which is
the
very
ground.
Close to the actual comic where she does it off
He kills her, right? That's what happens here, right?
Yeah,
he just
pretty
fucking
much
murders her.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man woman killer.
Well, she would have when she would've, falls, she would have died anyway. But
that's true.
In trying to save her, he actually kills her.
At least he gets like the thrill of the kill, right? It's not,
right, yeah,
it's
he
not wasted
he,
on
he,
the ground.
He feels her life force exit the body.
Right. Yeah. Now she's with Ghosto, her father.
Oh no! I'm getting it's a Birdman DVD, child. Oh no! Does she actually see Michael Keaton fly at the end, or does she not? Ooh, shit, child, it's ambiguous. Hey y'all, I'm all for ambiguity, but every once in a while, you just gotta spell some shit out for me. This jazz score is oppressive, child.
So whatever, she's dead, there's a funeral, there's a couple of great shots of Peter Parker standing in the same Brooklyn fucking funeral or cemetery that's used in every movie.
He does see the ghost of Gwen Stacy's dad again. And he just like shakes his head like, "I knew it," and Bill Hicks is like, "I knew it more.
You're an asshole, Leo, Leo, Leo."
Like, it's so useless.
Yeah, you're right. Bill Hicks should be behind him. Every time he shows up, he should be right behind him.
You know what's more useless, though, is that he's motivated to come back into being... Like, so he takes a bunch of months off from being Spider-Man.
You see snow and blah, blah, blah. Like, the Scorpion takes over Staten Island and no one cares.
But then the Rhino comes back to power, man.
Holy fucking... God, well, man, now we have to deal with the Rhino for like 15 minutes.
Well, the thing is...
And the little kid's in peril, and it's like, the movie's over! It's over!
The movie has definitely been over for a while. You
it's
cut
so
to
terrible.
Dane DeHaan in prison, and like the Michael Massey actually shows
up. Oh, is it Michael Massey playing this
Garbage
character?
Garbage Island.
Oh, shit. And he's like, what now?
He's just like the fixer of something or whatever. God,
it's not a character? Like a big character?
Maybe it is. It's not a big character in my book.
But they're basically setting up the Sinister Six.
Yeah, so like you see a warehouse with the fucking the goblin glider. You see the octopuses, whatever. You see
right.
The vulture's wings. And everyone's like, "Oh, my God, I'm going to jerk off." And he's like,
and then collect this big stupid rhino costume we made that has no applications whatsoever.
Why would you design this?
Okay, yeah, and now when Paul Giamatti's walking around the streets with it, he keeps on opening it to stick his little head out and be like, blah, blah, blah. This is when the NYPD snipers just take him out.
Of course.
Fuck. Yeah. And just fucking takes him out. One right betwixt the eyes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they'll draw on him. He's not selling loose cigarettes, so I'm not sure.
That's
a white
true.
Guy in a rhino costume, armed to the teeth with guns
and fucking not, missiles on this thing.
But he's not selling loose cigarettes, so I'm not sure they're going to go after him.
That's actually true. And by the way, we should mention this is Paul Giamatti's cartoon in this suit because it is terrible CGI.
Yeah.
This little like gate flaps open. He's like, "Hello, here I am. Goodbye. I'm closing it again."
My favorite part is when you can clearly tell Paul Giamatti doesn't know what the fuck's going on in this movie. He just goes, "I'm the rhino!" And I'm like, "What are you talking about, Paul?
It's terrible.
Paul, what are you talking about?"
And then we cut to black on Spider-Man about to fight him. You're not going to believe this franchise death.
Some kid crawls past like the police barricade and it's like, dude, no, that kid's dead.
It's some idiot that the Spider-Man saved earlier and he's like, "You could be a winner too, kid."
Because, by the way, we had about a week or so of when it's like, everyone's wondering, where's Spider-Man? Oh, my God, there's no Spider-Man anymore. And this is like him coming out of retirement and saving this kid from being splattered.
Whatever. Fucking just, total failure, this movie.
I never watched this before until last night for this show.
And
this has been the most exhaustive movie I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. No, it's terrible.
It's everything that's wrong with all these super, and you said it, and it's like, just focus on the thing. Tell me one story, one villain, or even two villains. I don't even care about how many villains. I mean, I kind of do, but like, just don't have it packed to the gills with what you're going to do in the next five movies. Don't give me your 5-year plan. Fuck me right now. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
I don't want to be wined and dined about the future and all this shit. A movie, it's a fucking. And you give it to me good and we're good to go.
No, exactly. Don't tell me how we're going to get married 3 years from now.
Exactly.
Don't tell me what you want to do with me on Labor Day weekend. Take me into the bathroom in this bar and fuck my brains out right now.
Exactly. It's quick. It's dirty. It's over.
Exactly. That's the way these movies need to be, man.
You just summed up everything.
It's everything that's wrong with these superhero movies. Nobody's fucking in the bathroom.
I don't care what your dad did. I don't care what you know what I mean? Like, I don't care if you had problems at home. I don't care what you got a good job.
No.
Fuck my brains out. And we're smoking cigarettes. We're going to sleep.
Yep.
What a great night. What a great night that would be.
Now, let's wrap this up. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No, it's kind of an interesting historical oddity. I think as the years go on,
no, it isn't.
This is, I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right, but I mean, it's just it's this weird little this pocket universe because I mean, this is happening more and more. Where like Suicide Squad's like this a little bit where they're like, oh, all this stuff's gonna happen, and you're like, but maybe it's not.
Well, that's what we're learning from this movie is watching something like Suicide Squad. You're like, is it?
Yeah,
you know, like, I guess time will tell.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Your leash isn't that long, brother.
Well, that movie made a lot of money, so we probably will, unfortunately.
But I would not recommend it.
No.
No, oh, no, not at all. No, never, never.
Neither would I. Actually, this movie sort of inspired me to go back and check out the Raimi trilogy, which I haven't rewatched in years.
I got that itch, too, from watching this.
The first two I really like.
I remember, again, I saw that third one with Chris Cabin in the theater. We both hated it.
Yeah.
I remember liking the first two, though. I remember liking the second one the best.
And there's good James Franco in those movies.
Yep,
like
you
want to talk about Harry Osborn? You got Willem Dafoe.
Oh, hey, Spider-Man. I was born for this shit. Looking like a goblin. Goblin vomit. Catch him in bed with a goblin. Gonna kill Bob Crane.
I would be. How disappointed would you be if you found out that Willem Dafoe loved Infowars.com? Alex Jones, you guys got a lot of good ideas.
You know what? I wouldn't mind. You know what? You've given me enough pleasure in my life, Willem Dafoe. You can do whatever you want.
That's The Amazing Spider-Man 2, directed by Mark Webb. For more We Hate Movies.
Oh, Spider-Man webs.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right. That's why he got the job. For more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com or follow us over at SideshowNetwork.tv. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM podcast.
Quick announcements.
Yes.
We now have a Patreon page.
That's correct. Yes.
We're going to go into further detail next week.
Correct.
But you go to patreon.com/wehatemovies.
That's right.
And it'll spell everything out for you. Animation Damnation is moving to that area. And yep. We have a new show.
Brand new show.
Called, The Nexus.
That's
WHM
right.
Nexus.
And it's us talking about Star Trek, all things Star Trek, mainly TOS and TNG.
Right. We're recapping both series.
Mm-hmm.
One episode of TOS, one episode of TNG.
Ooh. And whatever other, Trek potpourri we
exactly.
decided to throw
we'll
in.
We'll just start
miscellany.
Talking about,
and
yeah.
It's the perfect, the Patreon is the best way to support the show. If you like the show, you totally. Want to help us out, you just enjoy the free entertainment, there's mm-hmm. another way to get some more entertainment, but also just say, hey, man, here's $2-$3, here's $8, thanks a lot.
Totally.
We really appreciate it. It's been catching on pretty well. We've been really overwhelmed by how great everybody's been about it.
Yeah, exactly. And just to let you know what's up there right now, you can get mm-hmm. the first episode of The Nexus right now.
That's
you can
right.
get a first, you can get... We're going to upload commentaries there. We have the yep. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie.
2014.
Yeah, the first of the reboots. We have a full-length syncable commentary track. Boom. You chip in a little, you get something back.
Mm-hmm. Totally. You got that. You got Animation Damnation, Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
Chris Cabin will have phone sex with you. And that's one of the tiers. I forget which one that was.
Oh, yeah, that's the Deviant Art tier. It's $5,000 a month.
One last plug. New season, new merch store.
Right.
We've partnered with teepublic.com.
Yeah, you can go to teepublic. That's teepublic.com/wehatemovies. And we launched a whole new a shop there. You can get, if you thought our show posters were cool, you can get them on a shirt. You can get them on a cup. You can get them on a lot of different things there. So just check it out. Look around. We'll be uploading new designs shortly. I know we've said that in the past with our previous merch store.
Right, but now we're doing it.
Now we're doing it.
Much easier with tpublic.com, by the way.
Right, and we've got a couple of things to launch in the wings. So
there you go.
That's super exciting.
So that's it, gang. Right into the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. And, of course, the Season 7 of We Hate Movies officially kicks off next week. We're talking about The Substitute 2, School's Out.
Finally, our back-to-school episode.
Yeah, there you go. So until next week, with Treat Williams taking over for, what's his face?
Tom Berenger.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Toby
McGuire.
Catch him in bed with a Tom Berenger.
I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siska.
Goblin Vomit.